Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
Welcome to SMQB's episode 226. How's it going, fellas?
Hello. Rooster.
What's up, Rooster? Good to see everyone.
Where's Bison?
I don't know. Where is Bison?
On assignment in Alaska.
Alaska, yeah.
All right.
Yes. New hockey team down there?
You know?
Covering curling.
Well, it looks more like he was covering kayaking today.
That's right. The Olympic sports.
Yes.
Listeners, today's episode is presented to you by Assembly Software, Digital Law Marketing, Injury Board, and Supio. Fellas, let's start out with who you bring into the bar today. Milk.
Well, gentlemen, this is one of the best weeks of the year because it is the start of college football, at least in terms of practices. Most of the major universities start later this week, including my Florida Gators. So I'm going to bring my buddy, Billy Napier, to the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Billy, it is a big year for you. Everything is stacked up for you. I think you have the best quarterback in the SEC. Pope may disagree with that. Lots of great roster.
I think the SEC writers disagree with that, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to argue.
I disagree.
Who? Arch Manning, who's never played a down? Whatever. Anyways, this is the year that put up or shut up, and I want to talk about the hellacious schedule that the Gators have this year.
It is pretty hellacious.
He's already given the excuses before the first beat.
Right. With the world's greatest quarterback
and
coach.
No excuses for Napier.
We already need the excuses.
9 to 10 wins or you're fired.
Pope, who are you bringing to the bar?
Does anyone recognize the name Lottie Wode?
A lot of what?
Lottie Wode.
No, who is that?
She is a female golfer who just won her first professional tournament on her first try. She's like essentially the Tiger Woods of amateur golf and has just now gone pro. She won the Ladies European Championship in Ireland before jumping up to get her LPGA tour card where she won her first tournament. So what a great story that is from England, and I'd like to buy her a pint.
All right.
Did we do this before? It was the Phenom that was going to be the next Tiger Woods of women's golf years ago.
You mean Michelle Wee?
Michelle Wee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happened to her?
She had a pretty good career.
She did. She was too tall.
Hmm.
House.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Who are you bringing to the bar?
Well, I can't stop getting drinks for Howie Roseman. About an hour ago, the Tennessee Titans announced that they were formally releasing one Treylon Burks. And you remember when Howie fleeced the Titans for a swap in the draft order at that time and a third round pick. And with that draft pick, they took Treylon Burks as the quote unquote replacement for AJ Brown. And another story came out today that, I mean, unrelated, I think maybe it was related, but A.J. Brown was severely, severely depressed when he was a wide receiver for the Titans, and some pretty vulnerable, impressive stories for a professional athlete to come out and talk about mental health. He was ready to take his life, and he had a former fellow college teammate from Ole Miss that really helped him get out of it, and then a change of scenery changed things, but Howie Roseman might have literally saved someone's life and probably with one of the worst trades of all time for the Tennessee Titans. So drink for you on many levels.
My son, Patrick, has been a Titans fan since he was a little boy, and that letting the Eagles get A.J. Brown and in exchange for drafting Burks caused him to abandon the team. He was just done after that.
Wow.
By the way, some breaking news around Treylon Burks. He's been signed by the Cleveland Browns.
No way. For real?
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. I'm sure.
That would be so on brand.
To play quarterback.
It's coming.
So
on brand. It's coming in the next 20 minutes.
I'm taking my frequent guest, Neon Deion Sanders.
Oh, big game.
Big announcement
today. He had a big announcement today. I really have to – my hat's off to the guy. I mean, just – you know, anyone with that kind of exposure who gets that personal with their medical condition is doing nothing but bringing awareness to a situation. I have to give him credit for being so brave. I mean, the guy had a tumor removed from his bladder cancer, and is now very open about the fact that he's having to wear a catheter and can't pee anymore, you know, without the catheter. And he talked about it today. It's just, he's going on, he's carrying on with his life as if nothing happened. And I really want to take him to the bar, assuming that he actually can have a drink. We'll see. But
so is this or is this not impacting his coaching abilities this year?
Sounds like it is not. He was joking about having a porta potty on the sideline.
Duh.
Jeez.
They have a big opener against Georgia Tech. By the way, at home.
Like someone studied the gambling lines open.
What? Wow. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Is that draft weekend?
Is that August 22nd or something?
It's actually not. That's okay. Iowa State. We're focused on Iowa State, Kansas State there.
Oh, that's the game.
I want to thank one of our sponsors, Assembly Software. You can get one of the best cloud-based case management system, Neos, from Assembly Software, and it comes with a fantastic support staff and who will work with your staff and make their lives easier. So if you're looking to replace your software case management system, try Assembly Software. Guys, let's move on and talk about this ESPN-NFL Network merger that seems to be close to being finalized. It sounds to me like we're talking about a $2 billion deal. The NFL is going to wind up taking an equity stake in ESPN, while ESPN acquires control of NFL Network and NFL Red Zone. I see all kinds of problems, particularly for the fans. What do you guys think?
Right. You know, I keep hearing this, Rooster. Why do you say that? Because of the personalities, because of over-commercializing, because of betting? Like, what is it?
So the NFL is going to have a financial stake in ESPN, which is already
10% is what I read.
Too much beholden to the NFL. You will see immediately the end of any kind of investigative reporting on things like the concussion issue in football, domestic violence in football. None of that is ever going to – you're never going to see another 30-on-30 on anything like that, because – They are too beholden to their master, the NFL. And so, you know, it's what started out as entertainment and sports programming network is now strictly focused on entertainment and the business end of it. Not only that, but, you know, they're coming out with a new streaming platform, ESPN Plus. You better believe that as a consumer, you're going to have to pay a whole lot more to get NFL Red Zone and NFL Network, because you're going to have to subscribe to ESPN Plus to get it. It's going to be more expensive, and the idea of ESPN having anything to do with sports news reporting is going to end, at least with respect to the NFL.
That's well, I read that they had a $30 a month streaming service come in. I think it's different than ESPN Plus. I think it's some new vehicle coming out this fall, and that they were going to tie that into the streaming, you know, for NFL. But what I don't know is, you know, just $30 basic. So you got to pay another $15 for Red Zone, another, you know, $25 for the NFL Network, you know, with Rich Eisen and you know, Irvin and all those guys. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to keep stacking it.
We don't get ESPN for free now, or what? Red Zone? It's not part of the deal?
So. Nope. Mm. I think you're going to be paying for everything.
Sorry.
It's interesting that you say, Rooster, the, you know, was originally the Entertainment Sports Programming Network. I mean, Chris Berman was and, you know, the fastest 2 minute sports and all that stuff. Chris Berman was the original Red Zone, you know, and all of that fun and the nicknames for all the players. I think the way Chris Berman did highlights in a lot of ways was the forerunner to what we're seeing in Red Zone. It would be a shame if the fan, I think no matter what, the fan is going to lose out on the money end, but it would be a real shame if this merger resulted in, like you said, you know, the investigative reporting, end of 30 on 30, end of, you know, health issues. I don't know. Interesting for of late, what has disappointed me a lot on ESPN is some of the talent that they've been letting go. God. Some of the really fantastic people. And it would be disappointing if in exchange for top-notch reporting and feature folks that what we got was, you know, the Disney of NFL Network.
It's a constant parade of guys in their early 30s doing their best Stuart Scott impersonation. No originality anymore at all on ESPN.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do y'all, Disney obviously owns what, 80%, 90%? Did y'all see a dramatic change in ESPN when Disney took over? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Well, the talent.
Yeah. They cut a lot of really talented personnel. But, you know, do you remember back when the idea of CTE came out, the chronic brain injury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the NFL's course. First reaction to that was to hire a bunch of doctors to dispute the efficacy of the studies. You know, they had their in-house doctors basically saying, no, people don't get brain injuries from playing football. And there were 30 on 30s, and there were some good reporting that finally brought the NFL to the table. And then that concussion movie came out with Will Smith exposing the whole thing. That's not going to happen anymore unless another network does it. Sports Illustrated is gone. You know, who's going to do that kind of reporting now? I just don't see it happening.
Good question.
I mean, you got Fox Sports, you know, that seems to be trying to ramp up, but I'm not sure they'll be hard-hitting journalists.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rely on traditional newspapers.
All of those sports programs now are, you know, panel of 12 people fighting to get their 1 minute worth of exposure. There's nothing substantive being said on any of these shows anymore.
And right. You guys, Milk's right. Like The Athletic, you know.
Yeah,
they're the ones who are the most investigative right now.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I don't even find myself watching ESPN much anymore. In the new day of
I don't either.
YouTube TV and all these different apps and different opportunities. I watch it during college football season a lot.
Yeah, I was gonna say for college football for game day.
For game day and things like that. But I'm really I used to watch it so much more. Like the highlight, I mean, now and all these other opportunities. Yeah, I don't know. It's not as big as it used to be.
You know, since you have it on your phone or your iPad, you can see what you want to read or see what you want to see, I don't watch SportsCenter nearly as much. I mean, I used to always watch SportsCenter. That was like, you know, part of my evening routine.
Well, let's remember the play of the day now happens 5 minutes later on Twitter.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to wait. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
But you're right. I do go to ESPN.com a lot to try to get what's the latest headlines, what's happening. So now Roger Goodell, of course, right? He's going to control the narrative of everything. So you won't see those stories anymore.
Friends, are you paying a lot for your website and not getting any new cases in return? Switch over to Digital Law Marketing. Several of us use them. They also have done the SMQB's website for us.
Check it out.
DigitalLawMarketing.com. Has anybody paid any attention to President Trump's new executive order regarding NIL?
Yeah.
It's actually, it seems like a good thing. Anyone disagree?
I have.
What do you say? What
I'm
do you think?
I'm going to say something. No,
I mean,
Milk. I think it depends.
Hold on. Let's give Milk a chance to pat his boy on the back.
Come on. I know there's, well, don't worry. There'll be plenty of the other way, I'm sure, later on in the show. But it seems pretty good. We've got banning the third party pay for play, which I understand they already do, quote unquote. Of course, the NIL collectives basically is a third party pay for play. So there's some regulations around that. I really love the, you know, if the school makes more than $50 million a year, they cannot reduce the number of scholarships for the non-revenue sports, which has been a huge deal. We've talked about that a lot on the show. And the schools that make greater than $125 million a year, which is going to be your big time SEC, Big Ten, you know, whatever ACC schools, have to increase their non-revenue sport scholarships. They have to increase them, which was a big deal that all these were going to go away. So I think for non-revenue sports, which we've been highly worried about, women's sports, these are the sports, the
Olympic
non-revenue
sports.
Olympic yeah. sports that we've been worried about that were going to go away. I don't know if how this is going to be enforced, by the way. Who knows? That's a whole
it's
separate
not.
Issue. It may have no bearing
right.
on anything.
There is no enforcement.
Right.
It's the president of the United States having somebody write out something says, you know, you should be in support of whatever this is.
Well, right, Charlie Baker came out and said he endorsed the executive order, but Congress needs to pass a bill.
There is companion legislation. Well, it's not companion yeah. because there's nothing companion to a fucking executive order. But there is legislation in the House that's going through the committee system right now that essentially adopts what the executive order proposes. And believe it or not, the two guys you would definitely not think would be together on something, but Cory Booker and Ted Cruz are actually together on a bill in the Senate. Which is in the early stages. So, I mean, I don't know. It's grandstanding at its highest, but there's been worse executive orders. Let's just put it that way.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why it may not entirely be grandstanding. To the extent that it, you know, ticks off the race on giving some semblance of power back to the NCAA and the conferences to stop the wild, wild west and give a framework for it that maybe Congress will follow, maybe, you know, the Attorney General, or I know there's this notion that maybe even there's some power given to the Federal Trade Commission, but someone has got to rein in the wild, wild west. And I think part of what is going on right now is the NCAA got taken to task for really, I don't think the exploitation has ever ended, but, you know, starting with the original lawsuit that went up to the Supreme Court that allowed these guys to get paid, and then following up with the most recent lawsuit, named after yours truly, the House case, you know, there has been just no controls on this at all. And the NCAA, I think it's just gone way, way too far of allowing athletes to get paid, endorsed, like you said, you know, pay for play. There has to be some kind of reins been put on this. I don't think this executive order has the teeth to do it, but it may set it in motion so that someone else will take the baton and
well,
get it
well,
done.
Well, the framework in Congress is already underway. It's called the SCORE Act. And so this executive order may just be the push that people need to move that through. As I understand it, Milk, you know, it's not going to really touch the fair market value compensation, you know, like target brand endorsements that an athlete sure. can get. But it may clean up the sleazy booster compensation that goes on behind the scenes, which would be a good thing.
That's the collectives that get together. I mean, it is a third-party pay-for-play. They're doing it. Yeah. And also these things about, one of the things that it said is we've got to understand, I mean, there are people advocating for athletes to become employees of this these universities, and suddenly like they're going to be unionized and have a collective bargaining agreement and all of these things. Is that what we want? Does anybody want like a union for student athletes?
I don't know.
The NCAA is a weak, spineless organization. They have fucked this whole thing up. And sorry if whether it's Trump or whoever, they can't do it. They're done. We need other people to come in. It has to be Congress, whoever it is, and fix this. That's fine because it's heading in a bad direction. And like this is just insane. It's out of control, period. So I'm all for changes.
Yep. Yep. It seems like they, if they could turn this into something other than grandstanding and put some teeth into the SCORE Act, the solutions may appear. Friends, if you're a plaintiff's attorney and you are interested in networking with the best attorneys in America, Canada, Western Europe, and getting case referrals the old-fashioned way, check out injuryboard.org. So, guys, we had a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame induction the other night, and we kind of previewed the selection of Dave Parker and Dick Allen earlier. The next three, the living players that went in were Ichiro, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner. Of those three, I just thought that Ichiro really stood out and is maybe one of the most underappreciated players in the history of baseball. He didn't join the major league until he was 27 years old. I think Pete Rose started at age 22. And yet Ichiro, you know, is right up there with the hits leaders. He has the most hits in his first seven seasons of anyone in their first seven seasons. The next closest is Kirby Puckett, who's like 110 hits behind him. Rose was 130 hits behind in his first seven seasons. He's got the most hits in a season at 262. And, you know, having not started until age 27, he still wound up with over 3,080 hits. That's amazing.
So, Rooster, that stat jumped out at me. I saw all the guys who had 3,000 hits, how many hits they had as of when they were 26. And, you know, a lot of them had the bulk of their hits by then. Ichiro had zero. He's the only one, obviously, with zero.
Yeah. I mean, he had like 1,300 hits in Japan before he even joined Major League Baseball.
Well, I think there's a good argument you could make because he was such a phenom from the standpoint of just putting the ball in play and getting hits. I think there's a strong argument that could be made that there's no Shohei Ohtani were it not for Ichiro. Ichiro is the first Japanese player to be put in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He showed that this experiment can not only work well, but can work in a transformative way. I do think that Ichiro might be all-time hits leader if he started his career in Major League Baseball. He might have even surpassed Pete Rose. So, now it's just it's a mainstay of Major League Baseball. It's hard to turn on a game without one of the two teams having at least one Japanese player, and all of that's because of Ichiro. And I agree with Rooster. It might be one of the more underrated people put in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, because his career was largely with the Mariners. But, he played at the end of his career. He played for the Yankees, maybe for a year. The Japanese press went nuts. I mean, before him or after him, he sort of paved the way, too, for Hideki Matsuyama. Was that his name? The Godzilla for the Yankees?
Hideki Matsui.
Matsui had a short but brilliant career.
Matsuyama's wearing the green jacket.
Yep. Yeah, Matsui. He was pretty awesome for the time he played for the Yankees. And the press was pretty aggressive with him. But, man, when Ichiro came just for a year at the end of his career, it was a whole different thing. And imagine if he played in even L.A. or New York or Philly, Boston for most of his career, he would not be so underappreciated. He was spectacular. He could have been a home run hitter if he wanted to be.
And he preceded social media.
Yeah. Yep.
Can I make a statement about Ichiro? Because I'm wondering how I wish Nace was here. Because how do we evaluate hitters now? I just noticed that, and I have nothing bad to say about Ichiro, but it's his WAR, his on-base percentage. I mean, they're not like top 40. Ever. his on-base percentage is actually extremely low. I mean, he's not even top 100 of all time. I don't know. I would like to hear
what Bison has to say about that.
Bison doesn't believe in hits. Let's just be honest. He doesn't believe in hits. He doesn't believe in batting averages. He doesn't believe in any of this. So I want him to come on next week and tell me about Ichiro outside of those factors.
That's funny. He, you know, well, the only one person didn't vote for him for the Hall, the one writer. And
what the hell was that?
Everyone else thinks he should have been an unanimous
pick.
It's
probably Chris Nace.
Yeah, could have been Nace.
When he hears this, his hair is going to be, oh, he doesn't have any hair. But his head is going to be melting. His head is going to be melting glaciers out there right now.
I'm desperately afraid that Chris Nace will argue against the greatness of Ichiro. I'm actually scared by this.
We challenge him to.
Right.
Well, next year's class of first time people who qualify for the first time, it looks pretty weak. So enjoy this year while you can. Pope, you wanted to talk about the potential of a lockout and this little blow up between Harper and the commissioner over the salary cap.
But today, you know, there was an article about how Harper exploded at Rob Manfred in the Philly clubhouse when he was there, I guess. On one of his, you know, ambassador missions to try to connect with the players and figure out what they wanted as we were approaching the end of the collective bargaining agreement, which is the end of 2026. And it was, if y'all remember, there was a 99-day walkout before they agreed in 2022. And it seems like we're headed to an iceberg. The owners want a salary cap. I think they're determined this time to do whatever it takes. Players obviously don't want a salary cap. Harper, whose agent is Scott Boras, the agent of evil, as far as I'm concerned, and the MLBPA is going to push back hard. So I think this was a skirmish. I know there was some discussion about Harper's just a hothead, but I think he's probably communicating for a lot of the players. Let's be clear,
the discussion that he's a hothead came from the same guy who doesn't think Ichiro is a good ball player. So I mean that's Mr. Bison. But look, here's the thing: I still think when all is said and done, it won't get all the credit won't go to Bryce Harper. But good for Bryce Harper putting down the chip now. Look, when the CEO of Bain Capital visits your department, it's not a good thing. It's like not like, hey guys, just want to tell you there's going to be a good cookie tray coming this Friday. It means you're about to get screwed. There is no such thing as a goodwill ambassador trip for Rob Manfred to visit all of these teams. You know, he is just laying the groundwork, saying I am your friend, and then he's going to take that knife behind his back when the season's over. Yeah, of course. He can make his ambassador trip to the owners. But here's the thing. A guy like John Middleton, who's the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies or the representative owner in that ownership group, he's very, very close with Bryce Harper. Very close to Bryce Harper. It was Middleton's personal involvement that brought Bryce over. And it's Middleton and Harper's close connection that has brought people in like JT Realmuto and Kyle Schwarber and even their hitting coach. So here's the thing. When Bryce Harper puts down a chip like that, it's not just a message for Rob Manfred. It's a message for Middleton saying, do not screw us over. We are, okay, whatever you want to say about how much Major League Baseball players are paid or overpaid, depending on what position or whatever, a salary cap would maybe the Tampa Bay Rays of the world would think they would even the playing field. I think it would be transformatively bad for baseball.
If there wasn't a salary cap, you guys wouldn't have been able to enjoy the greatness of Tom Brady wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform.
Oh my God.
And the glory of a middle market winning it all multiple times, by the way. Come on, we need salary caps. This has gotten ridiculous.
I mean, you could argue the luxury tax is a salary cap, but some teams just don't care.
Yeah. So just in case if anyone hadn't really followed this, what happened was Manfred comes into the locker room and does some backslapping, and Harper he beats around the bush about what's coming down the pike. And Harper basically says, if what you're really saying is that a salary cap is coming down the road, get the fuck out of our locker room. And what was interesting is that Manfred pushed back and said, I am not getting the fuck out of the locker room. We need to have a conversation about this. And I guess in that respect, good for him to have the conversation. But like Pope said, I mean, the iceberg is very likely coming. Something is going to have to give. And I actually do think, I do believe Harper, of course, I mean, that's what any player is going to say. We're prepared to sit out. I mean, what else are the players going to say other than to make that threat? But I do think we could be looking at a very, very long work stoppage in baseball if something is not figured out here.
But baseball's got problems with retaining fans already. They can't afford a one-year walkout. They just can't right now. They'd be dumb to let that happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I love hearing Milk espousing a little corporate socialism. What's going
right?
on there, bud?
What it's like opposite here. You guys are like the greed and the capitalism. Let's go. Come on, you guys are your house.
So now you're
house,
like,
are you in favor of a salary cap?
You want a handout from the
spread
other
the wealth, right? Come on, I thought you
were wow.
Wow.
House is getting nervous. He's getting nervous about his $300 million payroll. Just admit it.
So listen,
you are the Bernie of baseball, and I don't mean Williams.
Come on. We all want to see the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I was just going to mention the Pirates. You think if there's a cap, the Pirates are actually going to spend up to the cap? They're still going to be cheap.
Well, I mean, there's still cheapness in NFL football, too.
The Marlins.
Terrible owners.
The Marlins.
I mean,
that's the White Sox.
Look, there's always going to be the Cleveland Browns.
Listen, there are the Tampa Bay Rays of the world this year that are not exactly struggling. Milwaukee Brewers and Detroit Tigers probably don't have a much bigger size than Tampa Bay for their market, and they're doing just fine. So quit your whining, though. It's
I have
so
to see
tiring.
What their payroll is. I got to see if they're near. We're 28th in the league. Damn it.
Well, the difference, House, is they're not playing in a minor league park.
Right. And we're plummeting, okay? Faster than the Titanic. It's over. It's all over.
He tried raising taxes on the big guys. That didn't work. Now he wants the handout.
Rooster, just going back to the Hall of Fame, because I suppose you would know better than any of us on the pod. I haven't really studied his resume, but do you feel like CC is Hall of Fame worthy?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, two World Series, Cy Young. Yes, absolutely. He single-handedly made the Brewers a contender for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He kept A-Rod and Jeter from killing each other, so that was very valuable.
How many wins does he have? What's his stats? He was 251 and 161, 3.74 ERA. 3,000 strikeouts.
That's a lot of games.
Okay, 3,000 strikeouts is a lot.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
It's not, I don't know.
Particularly after Rooster shared the stats from a few weeks ago on Parker, which are so unbelievably impressive. I would say ranking them, it would be Ichiro, Parker, Sabathia, and Wagner.
What about Dick Allen?
Oh, and Dick Allen, of course. Yeah, well, a lot of interesting stories of a guy that really was kept out of the hall because really his chemistry in the locker room, and he just wasn't a kiss ass. He wasn't a kiss ass to the media, wasn't a kiss ass in the locker room, and he had all the stats for it, and he wasn't gonna beg for the hall. But posthumously, his family and the other former players, people like Mike Schmidt and others, really, really rooted for Dick Allen. And that was really great to see.
I remember when he was Richie Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks to our final sponsor for tonight, Supio. Supio Software provides AI to law firms using connection with your case management system. Check out supio.com for superior AI for your law firm.
By the way, House, Cole Hamels is up next year.
Yeah, Cole Hamels is the best player up next year, I would say.
I don't think he's got the resume for it. I mean, he's got a World Series MVP, and I think he's got maybe a Cy or runner-up, but he's got a nice, nice resume. I don't think he has a Hall of Fame resume. There will be a lot of Phillies fans and maybe some Texas Rangers fans that are rooting for him, but I don't know beyond that.
Oh, come on. I'm looking at let's go back here, but
next year, Shin-Soo Chu, Edwin Encarnacion, Alex Gordon, Matt Kemp, Nick Markakis, and Hunter Pence.
Yikes.
Is anyone going to make the Hall of Fame next year?
No, but the thing is, there are lots of players who came close the year or two before.
75%, yeah.
Yeah, they're that's where you're going to see some names you recognize and think should be in.
I think there's a chance. I think Chase Utley's getting closer, and I think he's deserving.
Yeah, Cole's numbers are interesting. 161 right, well, wins.
Last week, it's Fantasy Football League is upon us soon. Last week, House and I previewed some fantasy football quarterback discussion. This week, let's talk about running backs. Milk, as the reigning Super Bowl champion in our league, what's your draft strategy? What position Milk are you going with first?
I didn't win it last year, by the way.
Oh, no, it wasn't Milk. Sorry. Yeah. Milk, you're the only...
I know, it's so used
you're
to
the only two-time champ. The champion. You're the only two-time champ on this show. I came close, but...
I wasn't on last week, and so I want our listeners to know that there was a mistake made. It was said I was in three Super Bowls for this, our fantasy football league. I've been in four Super Bowls,
so
I just
want to
make sure that was noted before we got going. I think that was you, Rooster, who said three.
I've been in three. I must have been projecting.
But I did appreciate that you guys talked about how... And you agreed with my strategy of drafting quarterbacks later in the day because you can get Baker Mayfield in the eighth and win your league every single year.
Wait, because I did ask, if you are in that position, you, the Patrick Michler who goes late with quarterbacks, if you are in that position where you can grab Josh Allen or Jalen or Lamar, are you taking them? Or you're still going to stick with I'm passing on those guys?
Why? I can get Baker. He's going to throw 42 touchdowns this year. What? Come on, you guys are crazy. Load up on these guys. Load up on the running backs. By the way, we got a lot of running backs this year.
Yep.
Do we?
Yeah.
Come on. Look, Barkley. I want to talk to House about Barkley because I don't know how you come back from how you follow up a season like he just had. I think my tier one guys. I've got Barkley. I love Gibbs. I love running backs who are on obviously good freaking teams with good offenses.
And they're talking about turning Gibbs into more of a pass catcher too.
Absolutely. So in the PPR, he's way high. I think the Falcons are going to be really good this year. Then they have a great offense with London and Darrell Mooney. I think Kyle Pitts will finally come into his own. He's too much of a beast. So Bijan is going to be right there.
He, by the way, just in case he's listening, he wants to be called Bijan from now on.
Bijan, right.
Bijan. Like Dijon, Bijan.
I have no idea. I've seen a lot of these. Now, Phelan, Rooster, you've done 15 mock drafts at this point at least.
He did.
Where do you have the Boise State running back going? Because I'm seeing him way too high.
He's like, genty.
Way too high.
I've seen him high as four.
I've seen him higher than like Christian McCaffrey and Devon Achane and Bucky Irving in most of these mock drafts.
Right.
But like Geno Pope says, I've seen him actually higher than Josh Jacobs, which I find to be kind of silly.
I've seen him higher than McCaffrey. This is crazy. You couldn't pay me to draft that guy. Geno Smith is the quarterback. Jacoby Myers is their number one wide receiver, unless something has happened. How do you see them moving the ball? I know he ran at Boise State for whatever. He's a backup to me. Maybe I would switch Bucky Irving in a heartbeat. Move him up into the high two second tier. And Derrick Henry. These are all guys, by the way, those are all guys that I would take. I would take Barkley, Bijan, Gibbs, Derrick Henry, all in the first round.
What about Josh Jacobs?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's definitely not first round. Maybe.
So Milk, if those running backs are off the board, are you saying at that point go wide receiver?
Depends on what kind of league you're in, of course. But
so last year, Kyron Williams
standard scoring
was a massive producer because he scored tons of touchdowns.
Well, here's who you're left with. You're looking at McCaffrey. right? Yeah. So what are you going to do with McCaffrey?
Seems healthy, but who knows?
Is he?
All the reports out of camp are that he's healthy. Jonathan Taylor, I think, is going to have another good year.
I don't know. I would go a wide receiver before any of those guys. Maybe I would take McCaffrey.
I am buying on Achane and Chase Brown.
No.
I'm buying on Achane and Chase Brown. I am selling on Alvin Kamara.
Oh God.
And I'm just done with him. And I don't believe in the long-term health of Jonathan Taylor. But why do people not talk enough about James Cook?
I love
Cook on the Bills.
I was just about to say that. I love him. I would have him much higher than people have him right now.
But what didn't he have some contract dispute going on?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I like James Cook too, if he's gonna play. What happened to Bryce Hall or Brees Hall? Is he?
That's Pope's guy. That's who Pope took last year.
Yeah.
Do you like Brees Hall? Did he end up being good?
No.
He didn't have that great a year.
He plays for the Jets still, right?
That's a problem. The
Jets. Yes.
Am I missing something?
I was expecting them to be a little bit more dynamic with their offense.
Here's a guy who every year gets overlooked and scores a lot of points in fantasy football, James Conner.
I love James Conner.
He's a good second back pick. Yeah.
I like him. I like him higher. I'm telling you right now, the steal of the draft, and I hate to say this because it works against my own interest in running backs, is Bucky Irving.
Yeah. Well, I had him last year, and he was awesome.
He will take him.
You're such a dick. You told me to take the other guy last year.
Rashad White.
Who was the other guy on your backfield? Yeah.
Rashad White.
You told me to take Rashad White last year.
Well, he's still on the – well, I didn't know that our third round running back from Oregon was suddenly going to become a stud. But
I predicted it, brah.
I think he is going to go nuts this year.
You know who I think this year's Bucky Irving is going to be? Harvey on the Broncos.
Okay.
You know who I can tell you not to draft? A guy named Miles Sanders on the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
You can stay away from him.
You can stay away from all running backs in the Cowboys. I mean, I haven't seen the Cowboys with a top 32 running back in any of these drafts.
Who is their starting running back?
It's Javonte Williams.
Eesh. I don't know, man. I can't get the image
like
of
maybe ninth or tenth round.
Do we still believe in anything left in the tank for Aaron Jones in Minnesota?
Yes, yes. I think he's a great. You could probably get him as your third running back picked, and that's good value right there.
Yeah.
I like Aaron Jones because I think they're not going to be quite as trusting with McCarthy hurling the ball. So I think they got to hand the ball off a little bit more to Aaron Jones. I like Aaron Jones as if you can call it even a sleeper. It's not exactly a sleeper, but I think he has higher value than what he's ranked right now.
I agree with that. And I would put Chase Brown in the same category as Cook. I would have him up way higher. Again, high octane, good quarterbacks is the key. Good wide receivers is the second key. If you've got all of those, you're going to have a good running back. Look for teams like that.
You need a good O-line.
Rooster, what are they going to do with your little fast little guy at the Giants?
Tyrone Tracy?
Like how many touches is he?
He was
a new guy.
Oh, no. Tyrone is not a fast little guy.
I'm asking Scattaboo.
Scattaboo is like a bowling ball. He runs over people. I think he's the second back after Tyrone Tracy. Scattaboo is somebody you draft really late, like right around the time you're thinking about picking defense. But Tyrone Tracy was their offense last year, along with Malik.
Well, don't you have Devin Singletary?
Do you still believe in Travis Etienne? Do you still believe in Travis Etienne, Milk?
No, God, no. I took him last year. Regret. He lost me my league. I don't trust anyone on that team than Travis Hunter.
I can tell you who I'm not getting this year is Najee Harris.
Please, no.
You love Najee Harris.
Every year I fall into the trap.
Did he move to the Chargers? Where'd he go to? The Chargers? Where'd he go
Chargers.
To? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I'll tell you another back who's really good who seems to slip, and you can get him as your second or third back, is Pacheco on the Chiefs.
I was just going to say that. He has some injury issues. If he's well, I think he's going to – he'll get you touchdowns. I mean, he's a good second or third back.
Another one who I've taken a couple times and loved and hated all in the same season is Kenneth Walker because he always gets hurt. But when he's healthy, he's really good.
He's so unreliable, though. That's the problem.
Injury prone. Injury prone.
Yeah.
Mixon's hurt. You got to avoid him right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that was coming on last year that I think it's going to be interesting to see how end up playing in drafts, because some folks have him in like top 15 running backs, is this Omarion Hampton.
Yep.
For the Chargers. I think there's going to be a lot of attention in some drafts. Not last. He was on Carolina. He's a rookie this year, but a lot of people are ranking him as one of the top rookies for this year.
Well, he's going to be their number one back because Najee Harris is hurt and they got rid of Dobbins. So he's going to have the opportunity to get it done in a high flying offense. I'd take him as my second back, or for even my first back if I was picking late.
Well, we're excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because Milk's right. There are a lot of quarterbacks and running backs you can pick this year.
I agree. Alvin Kamara should be ranked 30th. Some people have him 15th. That's insane.
It's stupid. Stupid.
But the people said that last year, and he scored a ton of points.
You know who also we didn't talk about because I'm very high on this team this year? I think, like, very high. You talked about him last week. I'm high on the Panthers to make a huge turnaround this year.
Whoa.
You're not going to draft Chuba Hubbard.
No. As a second or, wide running back, not your primary.
This is how you force people to take picks in our draft. This is what you do.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you. Bryce has turned the corner. That's a scary team. Like, I'm scared to play them as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. They almost beat us twice last year. Just telling you.
Chuba. All right, well, see you in a couple weeks in the draft, fellas.
Yeah, yep. Who's got a punchable face of the week?
It's this week's punchable face.
I sent this one around by text earlier this week, but there was a story this week of this former Memphis D-back, Taj Rael, sending to the quarterback of the University of Texas San Antonio, the Roadrunners, Owen McCown, the Memphis Tigers playbook before their game. Like, you're sending the opponent the playbook to probably affect gambling. In the end, the Roadrunners won that game 44-36. I cannot think of a more cardinal sin. It turns out that both these guys have been fined $15,000 and suspended for 3 games. I don't know how that's the only punishment. So the punch for the players participating, that punch for the punishment. And just to add to that one, hopefully this doesn't turn into a punch, but you probably heard today Major League Baseball has opened up an investigation to one of the game's best closers, Emmanuel Clase, who I don't know if you've seen the footage of this, but when he comes in the game,
Bad.
I don't know if anybody on our pod would know anything about being able to bet on anything, including the first pitch, whether it's a ball or strike when a closer comes in. I don't know if Patrick Meichler, known as Milk on the pod, might know anything about that. But
what are you talking about?
Apparently this guy,
sounds like a good prop bet.
His first pitch is like 20-25% a ball, and all other pitches is like 5%. He throws it in the dirt on purpose. Potentially, I don't know. Of course, if that's true, it's a lot more than a punch in the face. This is the second pitcher now Major League Baseball's opened an investigation on. I guess for now we'll slap it, but if it's true, I think this pod has given him a big time punch.
Have you seen the video? An all-star for the last 3 years. He's been, I think, has the most saves over the last 3 years. He's 27 years old, and right now the richest teams in baseball are starved for a closer right before the trade deadline. What in the world could be going through this guy's mind in terms of a risk-benefit analysis here? I mean,
no idea.
I could
torpedo
analysis.
My career or make a few bucks on one pitch.
He literally throws a strike and turns around and goes, fuck. I mean, it's so bad. I mean, it's really bad.
Just crazy. I've got a lasso. Anybody else have a lasso?
Go ahead, Rooster.
Go for it.
All right. I am going to give a lasso to Yeoman Wilder, who is a New York City youth baseball coach, who in his time was the best hitter in New York City in youth baseball. He actually batted 800 one season. The guy who came in second was Shawn Dunston, who was drafted in the with the first pick in the 1982 draft ahead of Dwight Gooden. This guy went on to play overseas and came back and started a youth program for training kids and has put kids in to hundreds of college scholarship situations, Stanford, Princeton, Columbia, and four of his guys made the major leagues. Others went on to become doctors, et cetera. And he's still coaching. So he's coaching recently, and a bunch of masked, armed ICE agents kind of invaded his practice at Riverside Park in New York and scared the daylights out of these 11 to 14-year-old kids. And this guy stood up and told all the kids to stand behind him and told ICE they were going to have to come through him to get to these kids and that the kids were invoking their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. ICE threatened to arrest him. He did not yield. And finally, ICE yielded and left. These kids were so scared that the next practice, only one of them showed up. But man, he puts on this free baseball hitting clinic that is so well done that players like Manny Ramirez over the years have come in and asked him for help with his hitting, even when he was playing for Cleveland. And it just takes a lot of courage these days to stand up to ICE. I mean, when the you don't even know who these people are. They're wearing a mask. They don't even have to identify themselves. And they could have thrown his ass in the trunk of a car and disappeared him, and he would have had no way to come back from that. He put these kids first and baseball first, and I just think we need some more heroes in this country like that right now.
That's a great one.
I agree.
Who's got a buzzer beater?
That one.
Go for it.
They don't normally do movie reviews on this show. But
we should do more.
I watched Happy Gilmore 2 over the weekend.
Oh, I did too.
Yes.
And look, let me tell you something right now. I love Happy Gilmore 1. It's like, that was like, I thought that was the funniest movie ever when I watched it in college for the first time. Gentlemen, I did not like the second one. I don't know what you guys thought. I didn't laugh that much. Nah. I mean, and they had all these
maybe you're more mature.
No, I'm not. That's the thing. I think I've gotten less mature. I just, damn it, I know funny. And that was not funny. And I'm really upset by it. And
sounds like you're triggered.
I am, because, you know, you go into these things and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. They've got all these cameos and the PGA guys.
Yeah, it was like a knockoff on too many other things, too.
Yeah.
Like it was a knockoff on that that movie with Ben Stiller where you're throwing kickballs at each other. What was that one called?
Dodgeball?
Dodgeball. It was a knockoff on that a little bit with just the schmaltzy, you know. It was a knockoff on this whole Live thing. It's just kind of stupid.
It's
hard to make a remake without Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Totally. Exactly. Scheffler was kind of good at it. I was surprised.
Yeah, Scheffler was fun.
How was Shooter McGavin?
He was all right. Not great.
He was all right. I don't know. It was just predictable, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I guess the opposite to me of Happy Gilmore 2 is Stick. Has anybody watched Stick yet?
No, I watched
it. I've seen a couple episodes.
Oh, I loved it. We finished it this weekend. It's totally okay. Ted Lasso of golf.
Okay. I want to watch that. Okay. I saw it got renewed too for another year.
It did. So. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's everything Happy Gilmore is not. Like, gives you good feels.
It reminds me of when Eddie Murphy gave up being funny to do all those kids' movies for so many years. That was the new Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
Mr. Family Guy, boring, not funny.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a great question.
Jumped the shark.
Great question for our listeners. What
what sequel has actually been as good or better than the original, especially comedy. It almost always fails. Caddyshack 2, Meatballs 2, Fletch 2, you know, none of them live up to the hype.
And yeah, you know, the next big sequel is. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was
they're doing another Spaceballs, right?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're done, fellas.
Have a good week, y'all.
We'll see everybody next week.
All right.
Later. Come back, Bison.
Say it, Bison.
Next week, we'll talk about wide receivers and tight ends.
Love it.